Last week, I have reminded you of the theme of John from John 2:11. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So three things will happen throughout the book of John. That is, Jesus performing not miracles, even though it is a miracle. John will use the word signs. And he reveals his glory. Then his disciples or people around him will believe in him. So that theme is going to recur, and that's what we are going to see in John 11 as well. Let's look at verse 4. But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." And I realized, at least for me, and I'm sure many of you too, we expect Jesus to say this. Verse 4. We expect Jesus to say, "It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." And we just move on. We move on to next verse. We go to next verse. But I realize this is the very first response to the news that Jesus just heard. So this must be the key to the whole matter. The entire chapter, John 11, must be about what Jesus just said. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. So let me just spend next few minutes explaining this verse. Let me give you the thesis of today's sermon. Last week was, "When the Lord tarries, love of God never changes," was the theme. Today, "When the Lord tarries, remember, reveal, promote the glory of God," is the theme for today, thesis for today. First heading that I want to talk about is this. Jesus reveals the glory, his glory, because he is full of it. Jesus reveals his glory because he is full of glory. Now, it may sound like an obvious statement, but I come to that conclusion by examining the very first few words in verse 4. Before the content begins, let's look at verse 4. It says this, "But when Jesus heard this, he said." Let me just think about that for a minute. And as it was the case last week, in this sentence, what is really said is this. Jesus, having heard, said. And I paid attention to that, having heard. What that means is, Jesus finished hearing the news from verse 3. Jesus hears it, having processed the news that is finished, and Jesus is speaking immediately after is the picture that is described here. Why do I say this and why do I pay attention to this? Because Jesus didn't say when, I'm assuming the man came because sister sent the word. Jesus didn't say, "Oh, stop. I know why you are coming. I know who you are and I know what you are carrying, the news. Don't even come and tell me. I know what is happening. Let me just say a word and let me heal that person, Lazarus." He didn't say that. Having heard what he says in verse 4, the content is his immediate response after what he just heard from the man carrying the news. What did he say? He said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." This theme of glorifying God, glory of God, came out of Jesus naturally, immediately, spontaneously, because Jesus was saturated with the glory of God. And I am not simply talking about Jesus as Son of God. He had this divine attribute. I am not talking about that. What I am talking about is Jesus' life is so full of the theme of the glory of God. As soon as he heard the news and processed it in his mind, whether it was divine nature, human nature, we do not know. We cannot know. But his immediate words that came out of our Lord's mouth was, "It is not going to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." It tells me Jesus was so full of, and he was so concerned about glory of God in his life, as soon as he heard it, he didn't say he's going to be okay. Imagine sisters came themselves to plead with Jesus. Jesus, please come. My brother is sick. He's dying. Imagine hearing from Jesus' lip these words. Imagine your loved one is sick. Somebody's dying and you plead with Jesus. And what you hear from Jesus is, it is about glory of God. And I imagine some of us will be offended because our concern is Lazarus not dying. But our Jesus' response is more than him not dying, more than our concern. Jesus, my mom, my daughter, my brother, my whoever sick and he is dying. And imagine you hearing from Jesus, it is for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified by it. I think many of us will be offended by it. Why? Because we are so concerned about not dying. Death, sickness, cancer, coronavirus. But Jesus is so full of glory of God. As soon as he heard the news, his response was, this is not going to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. The emphasis lies in the second half of the sentence. Glory of God, Son of God being glorified. Jesus, we are not concerned about that at all. We are really concerned about my brother, little brother who's dying. But Jesus is full of the theme of glory of God, so he speaks of glory of God. I want us to remember the glory of God when the Lord tarries. There's a vacuum, there's a void, and we need to fill that void with the glory of God. Let me just say these few things application-wise. For many of us, the glory of God comes too late and too little. For Jesus, the glory of God came first and came out like a flood from his lips. I think that's the mode of existence for many Christians. Our concern is only for the problem and nothing beyond it. So we see corona, death, lockdown. And we say when this is all over, we may discuss glory of God. But from Jesus' response, we learn the glory of God must be the ground on which we stand daily. The glory of God must be the air we breathe daily. The glory of God must be the lens through which we see the entire world and our lives. So when the Lord tarries, we must fill that vacuum and void immediately with the glory of God. I want us to be that kind of man. You look at the messages and you listen to other ministries, whatever that they are doing. I rarely see the theme of glory of God. So many of us and so much of our ministries are concerned about relieving the pains, relieving the fear, that immediate fear that we have, that we see. But I want us to lift up our eyes and to see the glory of God today. You see, so many people, when you talk to that person, he will talk about sports. He will talk about football. He will talk about basketball, the trade, draft, all that. Why? Because he is filled with that information. That is the thing that he consumes. It is hard for us to come this morning and praise God. Why is that? Because our hearts are not filled with praise. It is difficult for us to listen to the Word of God because we are not trained in the Word of God. It is difficult to process these things because we do not spend time with the Word of God. I'm telling you, if we are filled with the Word of God, if we are filled with the praise of God, it will come naturally. You poke him, the Word of God will come out. I hope we could look beyond corona. And Jesus was such a person who was full of glory of God that he heard it. He talks about glory of God twice. Now let us try to understand that second half. But for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. It is actually, when you think about it, confusing words. What is Jesus really saying? But for the glory of God, that we understand, right? We understand for the glory of God, glory to God. But what is that, the second half, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it? To understand these two separate clauses, we have to trace what Jesus says about the glory in Book of John. And let me read to you some of the sentences from Book of John that Jesus speaks of. John 1:14 says this, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory," that is Jesus' glory, "glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 2:11, I read it in the beginning. John 5:41, "I do not receive glory from man." John 7:18, "He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him." John 8:50 says this, this is Jesus speaking, "But I do not seek my glory." John 8:54, Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me." John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer, it contains so much of the theme of glory, but let me just read you just a few sentences. Jesus is praying, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. I glorify you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." The last one, 17:22. "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them," the disciples, "that they may be one, just as we are one." So D.A. Carson says this, "The Father and the Son are mutually committed to the other's glory." Then we could understand the statement of what Jesus said in verse 4. "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." It is really not a two separate ideas here. And Jesus is concerned about Father's glory, so that's what he would do on earth. And in turn, Father glorifies the Son. So it just goes around. And that is the idea that we see here today. Let me talk about some practical things now. But what about us? We cannot perform miracles like Jesus to glorify the Father. So I thought about how can we glorify God during coronavirus? And I thought about just a few applications for us this morning. First, by revealing the content of this glory of Jesus. But I noticed from John 1:14, and let me read it to you. "The Word became flesh," that is Jesus. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So first thing is this. The only reason John testifies that we saw Jesus' glory was because the Word became flesh. Think about that. Condescending grace of God. As long as God contained himself and stayed in heaven, none of human beings was able to see the glory of God. But because God came down on the Mount Sinai, because God came to us as a human being, as Jesus Christ, they were able to see and witness the glory of God. So one way for us to glorify God or emulate the glory of Jesus is to come down to the level of whatever, whoever that we are dealing with. And the content of it is this, glory as of the only begotten from the Father. And John says, full of grace and truth. And I thought, there it is. The content of that grace was being full of grace and truth. What if you treat other people in gracious manner? But not simply grace, but truth. It's not truth and grace, but full of grace and truth. So think about that and meditate that. How can we glorify God? By revealing this character of God, character of Christ, grace and truth to other people. Second part is this. This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. And I've noticed there is that by it. He doesn't say, the word doesn't say, so that the Son of God may be glorified. That should suffice. But there it is, by it. So I went and once again investigated what that it may be. And that it was feminine. And when you have it feminine, what you should do is go back and read the whole sentence and what that is referring to. Technically speaking, what is the antecedent for that it? And there is only one antecedent in that entire sentence. That is this sickness. That sickness is the feminine in that entire sentence. How is Jesus going to be glorified by it? They say, well, by it. This sickness that does not end in death. The entire sentence. I say, no. That is the implication of it. That is the conclusion of it. Lazarus is not going to remain dead. Jesus is going to raise him. So Jesus is going to be glorified by the resurrection of Lazarus. Well, that's the implication of it. But that is not, grammatically speaking, correct. Only thing that is referring to by it is the sickness. Before we embrace resurrection of Lazarus, we have to embrace his sickness. What that means is this. Is there room for us as Christians during coronavirus to look at death in its eyes and stare at it and say, death, where is thy sting? The last enemy to be destroyed is you by the resurrection of Christ. How can we glorify God during this time? First idea was by coming down to the level like Christ and by showing, revealing the character of glory. Glory of Jesus was full of grace and truth. The second thing that I would say is this. Whatever the Lord sends us on our way, we must receive it with gratitude. That's how we glorify God. By worshiping God in the midst of coronavirus. Thirdly, by not blaming God in the midst and during coronavirus. Obviously, the picture that I had in mind was Job. You remember in Job 1, chapter 1, he hears the news from the servant and all of his children. And he was the most righteous man in that period, in that time, rich man. But to test him, all of his children would die. And let me read you these verses in chapter 1, Job 1, verses 20 through 22. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and first worshipped. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. When that terrible news came, he worshipped, he praised God, he blessed the name of Yahweh. And through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Three things. So may we learn from Job. How can you glorify God by doing this? What we are talking about here is a supernatural response. This is no natural person's response. This is the response of a man and woman whose heart is filled with the Holy Spirit, whose heart is born again by the work of the Spirit. And may we respond in that way. Westminster Larger Catechism, very first question is this. What is the chief and highest end of man? Shorter Catechism just asks, what is the chief end of man? But Larger Catechism asks in this way, what is the chief and highest end of man? Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. Let us do that this life and in Jesus' name next life as well.